One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
You're listening to the Sans Pants Network.
Welcome to How Good's Footy, a weekly AFL podcast where we ask the most important sporting question of all. I'm Joel.
I'm Tom, and I'm proud of you, Joel. That's the best introduction we've ever done.
That is true. And obviously, Sean is not here this week, but there is a Sean update. But before we get to that, Tom, I've got an important question for you.
Yes, Joel.
The most important sporting question of all, in fact.
Yes, Joel.
Tom.
Yeah.
How good's making fucking finals?
We're back.
We're back in a big way. I don't really know this feeling. The Essendon men's team obviously have made finals kind of recently. It was during the COVID years, and we snuck into the eight, and it was pretty much predicted that we were going to get absolutely decimated in the first final, and that is exactly what happened.
That's true.
I can't really remember Essendon playing in a final that we didn't lose by 80-plus points. And look, hey... Not getting ahead of myself, I will say that that could still definitely happen this week, but I'm hopeful.
Well, this is huge. There's a bit to talk about here. There are two teams who, in their second year in the competition, have made finals. Essendon were the sort of the best team of the four last year, so they're making finals. Feels like a
logical step. We finished 10th last year, so like pretty close. Like halfway through the season, it was like, whew, they're a chance. They're not a chance to get very far, but they're a chance to make the eight.
But the big one is a team that won zero games last year, Joel, has made the finals this season. AFLW is cooked. Obviously, the fixture is a wild fixture. You know, people are already coming out being like, well, Sydney didn't have played six of the bottom sides this year. It's like, yeah, they didn't win a fucking game last year.
Yeah, and I think the big thing, Tom, to quote our good friend Gemma, who wrote a very in-depth article, Sydney don't just hope, they believe.
That piece was huge, and I've never seen Gemma. Gemma is an avid football person.
But she stays analytical, usually.
She stays very analytical. She's not she's a maniac in a different way. We're maniacs in that this controls our lives. We let a bunch of random men and women who we've never met or spoken to control our lives. Gemma was genuinely dying on the weekend that last game.
Look, I won't share the whole conversation, but it started with Swans, please win. And then a little bit later, this game is making me crazy. I want to die. It's a fucking annoying game to watch at the best of times.
I got a message that said, Tom, I'm so stressed right now. I am losing my mind.
Some other messages where she was, you know, just happy that a certain team didn't make the eight and a certain team did.
Her team making the eight, I think, is the big exciting thing. But look, let's dive straight into it. It was a big round. We've both in the finals. And Joel, how good's Footy Cup elimination final?
Well, the most fucking stressful one, because, that's something we haven't revealed yet. We're both playing finals against each other.
You're coming down the highway to the home of GMHBA, roasts, and the biggest sexy land in Australia.
Whew! I'm scared about that road trip. We have played once this year before, but that was at the neutral ground of Reed Oval Warrnambool.
Yeah, the very famous home ground for neither side.
Yeah, famous home ground for maybe no side except like the
Warrnambool.
Warrnambool Kangaroos or something.
It's crazy. I think that game too was at a stadium that was very much dominated by the elements. Warrnambool, windy part of the world.
I think
it was like a 4-goal breeze to one end.
I would say that would usually favor Essendon, home ground Windy Hill, but the two windy games that Essendon played this year, well, the two I can think of recent, we lost badly.
So this will be at a GMHBA, at a stadium that doesn't have wind. We might actually see
or wings. Flat, well, straight lines, famously.
What'll be crazy is it'll be great to see, like, I think most of the games for the finals are at, like, decent venues, which is really great to see. So you'll be able to see quality. I guess what I'm saying is that both Essendon and Geelong both won't have the elements to contend with, so we might see some absolute juice in the middle. Prasparkas watch. Finals
it
edition.
Is. Well, it's the Prasparky Cup finals edition.
Yeah. It's gonna be exciting. But let's dive into the games, because Joel, it's very funny that we're like, oh man, it's so good Essendon are in finals, when at the start of the round they shit their pants.
They did. Essendon lost to Gold Coast, which I suspected might happen. I was not super confident about this game, especially since it was at the famous Great Barrier Reef Arena.
Hey, Joel, who'd you tip?
I tipped Essendon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, a listener. We'll get into that later, actually, because the footy tips are over, and so is the AFLW fantasy competition. So we've got results coming out of our fucking ears. So yeah, Essendon got done by Gold Coast. Look, this is the first time all year that a loss hasn't destroyed my life, because if we won, that would have put Essendon in a potentially very scary position. Wanted to win. Don't want this taken out of being like cheering for a loss. Not the case.
Can't believe I was just
very cautious of what I, Tom, I deny those allegations and I will kill you.
But no, you could have, if Brisbane had a loss, you could have finished fourth and have rolled into Adelaide.
Yeah, would have been Adelaide and then presumably Brisbane. In Queensland.
It's really funny just looking at the finals fixture, and you have the top four and then the next four teams. And like on their day, a couple of those next four teams could push one or two of those top four sides.
Yeah. But probably not the other two.
No.
But no,
it's going to be odd. You never know. You never fucking know. It's finals.
I would probably say that those bottom four sides in the top eight probably won't need to worry about the top two teams in the AFLW. No. Considering the recent trends.
No, I think Brisbane and North Melbourne feel like they're gettable.
Yeah.
Melbourne and Adelaide, although Melbourne was so shit on the weekend. They got smashed.
Yeah.
And they lost a few players to injury. Anyway, let's get into it. You lost to a
Gold Coast.
Row-bottomless Gold Coast. She's going to miss too. She had ankle surgery. She's out for 6 weeks.
I'm extra sad because not only do we lose, like, we lost, that I was like, that sucks, wanted to win, but at least we now avoid this terrible situation. But then another terrible situation opened where there was a period of time where it looked like that this exact game could happen again next week, which I also wouldn't be feeling good about, because getting done by a team at their home ground the week before finals and then rolling into the first week of finals and playing them at the exact same ground again, you know, you don't really back yourself in that situation.
No, you don't.
But one thing that did bum me out, Tom, 10 rounds of AFLW. Before round 10, Bonnie Too Good had kicked a goal in every single game.
Oh, no.
She went 9 out of 10.
Did anyone go 10 out of 10? Gould must have, right?
One player did, and it was something that I'm going to have to pull up from Gemma's Twitter account.
Hey, friend of the show, Gemma, coming to the rescue, and she doesn't even know. I didn't tip this. I did believe in the Bombers, but I just thought Charlie Robonham was a huge out for them, but the Suns covered it really well and held on in that last quarter when Essendon kind of had a crack but just could not kick a goal to save themselves.
Tom, you were right. Caitlin Gould was the only player to do it.
I reckon I'm a bit clever.
So yeah, at the end of round 9, it was Caitlin Gould, Eden Zanker, and Bonnie Toogood.
I'm a genius, Joe.
And then only one remained. Anyway, look, Essendon played a bit shit. Hope they got it out of their system. Traditionally in this season, when we've played shit one week, we've played good the next. Hope that continues.
Speaking of one team being really good and one team not being very good, the next game, Joel.
Yeah, Western Bulldogs scored 9 points, and North Melbourne scored a lot more than that.
This was always going to happen based on the ladder positions.
Yeah.
To the point where it was very, very funny that in two games this round where two teams kicked away and were quite comfortably in front of their opponent, the bench at the end of the North Melbourne game, Jazz Garner, Emma King, Kate Shearlaw, and Emma Carney were all on the bench minutes to go in the last quarter.
Jazzy Gardner 2-2 defeated Western Bulldogs 1-3.
I learned something fucked out of this game. So it was Rocky Cranston's last game.
Yeah.
She retired. In the post-match interview, Sarah Hosking was interviewing her, being like, you know, what are you going to be doing, blah, blah, blah. How hard is it to make the decision? So the reason she's retiring is for health reasons.
Oh.
She has a kidney disease.
Jesus Christ.
She's about to start dialysis. I'm pretty sure.
What the fuck?
Joel, as someone who had a kidney thing, you were told you are not allowed to play contact sport.
Yeah, but that was in the 90s, which I'm assuming Rocky Cranston is also from. But then as time went on, there's padding and stuff you could wear. It was mostly just like, don't fuck around on the playground.
Well, I think, that's why she's retiring. She's starting dialysis and she's been pretty ill, which is honestly the fact that she was rolling in. And as a former, Geelong player and one of our inaugural side, always got a soft spot for Rocky and her ability to just like flatten people into space. So we'll miss her pancaking people, but she did say that she will be sinking tins at Witten Oval next season. So
that's good. That's good. That'll be good for the game.
But yeah, crazy, like kidney disease. Like that's just fucked.
That's fucked.
If I sleep funny and have a little bit of a sore neck, I can't do shit. I'm a whiny boy for the next like probably 3 to 8 weeks. And
she's
playing with kidney disease.
Yeah. Not sleeping well for a night would have taken you out of AFL for 2 weeks.
Oh, the season. Been like, just go to the coach, being like, I'm a sleepy boy, coach. Yeah. That's me done. That's a 10 to 15 weaker.
Well, speaking of people getting done, next game, Ashley Saint, 5-2, defeated the GWS Giants, 4-6. Port Adelaide absolutely decimated the Giants.
This was, talking to Jacob about this game, he's like, Port, this is the win, I think, that shows you where Port are. Because GWS and Port have sort of been in similar spots this year, where they've lost some games.
Yep.
But the development of Port's been there. They've had the draw, they had a couple of really close losses.
Yep.
But this is what Port can do. And honestly, if they didn't send Aaron Phillips off in style, they're a bum club and they should be banned from the sport. But this is, again, another huge retirement.
Yeah.
Aaron Phillips hanging up the boots, took a huge mark, kicked a massive goal in the last quarter, and I think everyone in South Australia got around her, and it was fucking awesome to see. Joel, have you ever looked at Aaron Phillips' accolades?
It's very, very, very fucked up.
Have you ever looked at her accolades before she quit basketball to play footy?
Yes, Tom. I've seen all of her accolades. Aaron Phillips is fucking crazy good at everything, it turns out.
Her like basketball stats and like accolades alone are like world, Hall of Fame worthy. And then she rolls in, like she turns her back on her basketball career to play in a fledgling comp as it's developing, where the money just isn't, like she could have earned so much more playing WNBA still. But she wants to play the sport that, she grew up playing. And I tell you what, we were better for it. I think she had a sort of a quieter like last couple of years, but you look at those years where she won the best in the AFL, best on in the grand final, those two premierships where she was just turbo mode. She's fucking incredible, and I think we'll get an award named after her.
Yeah, we should. But I always think she's like 31 or 32, but she's 38.
Mm.
I'm 32 and I look like shit.
Joel, I'm 32, and the other day I walked up a moderate incline, and I got to the top, and I went, kill me now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. That, I think that's a normal response. How is she doing it at 38?
She's built different.
Yeah. And even after this episode goes out, people are going to ask me, hey, do you know how old Erin Phillips is? And I'll be like, I don't know, 31, 32?
Yeah.
And I'll be wrong.
20, 27?
Yeah, 25 maybe?
Just Jesus. Ridiculous. And so she's, yeah, the equal, the two oldest players in the game both retired this weekend in Phillips and Phoebe McWilliams at Carlton.
Yeah. If you tipped GWS Giants knowing it was Erin Phillips' last game, you are an absolute fuckwit. And if you dropped a two-point lead to come second in a tipping competition, oh, you would be dirty.
Oh, hang on. What's this? I'm just on the ladder here, and it looks like, hang on a minute. Someone did exactly that. Someone who was very lippy about tipping the Bombers to try to goad you into tipping Gold Coast,
yeah.
Also absolutely butchered it by tipping GWS. GWS in an away game against Port Adelaide in Erin Phillips' last game. I think this person's hatred of Port Adelaide got in the way of their ability to be good at tipping.
So I've gone looking for a certain email, Tom, that we read out and discussed last week. And yep. I think either a current host of the show or someone that's taking a bit of absence has deleted it out of disgust. But yeah, we'll get to that later again. We've got a more important thing to talk about at the moment, which is Geelong steamrolled Hawthorn.
This fucking ruled. I watched this on TV. I'm away on a Scaredy Boys retreat for Astro Scaredy Boys. New episodes every Friday.
You're on island time currently.
I'm on island time.
And if it sounds like we're in the same room currently, it means I've done a good job editing. And if you're in shock at the moment being like, what? They're not in the same room? Good.
Yeah.
Tricked you.
We gotcha. This whole podcast, you're like, man, they're just bouncing off one another so well. We're in the same room together. No, so I watched this on TV. I brought my scarf. And going into it, I was like, we've just got to win. And I got to see my team put in a very juicy, complete performance where Georgie Prasparkas, Nina Morrison just went to work. And then after being very well held for the whole first half, Chloe Shear was like, watch me kick three goals. This was great to see again, just that continual building, and we look like we're going to hit finals in good form. We were a bit wobbly a few weeks ago. We've had some sort of ups and downs, but we're running into a bit of form now with the Richmond win and this win against Hawthorn. It feels like we're getting good. We've got a midfield that is just ridiculously unbeatable. I think Georgie got like 35 touches, and then at one point in the last 5 minutes, our bench was Georgie Prasparkas, Amy McDonald, and Nina Morrison, and that tells you where Craig... Craig? Is that called Craig Lowther? Dan Lowther.
Got there in the end. You're on island time. You cooked from the
sun. I'm on island time. He was like, oh, I got to rest these girls. We're
thinking ahead to next week.
Looking ahead to next week. Also, Joel, we continued our trend. 9 out of 10 games this year, Geelong has kept its opponent goalless in the first quarter.
That's big.
The only team that has kicked a goal on us in the first quarter is Melbourne, because they are Melbourne.
Yeah, that's fair enough. That almost doesn't count.
No, that doesn't count. We kept Hawthorn, I think. They didn't score a goal until halfway through the third quarter. So it was a really, really sort of dominant display. And full credit to Hawthorn, they really went to work in the defense. Their backline was really good. The problem is their midfield was like, what if we kicked it to Claudia Gunjaka and Meg McDonald every time we went forward?
Not a smart strategy.
It's not going to work for you.
Yeah.
But now the midfield were on top, looking really, really strong. And it was just sort of great to see. There was an absolutely fucking cooked goal from, I want to say Stratton.
Yep.
Just a ridiculous, like, check side running away from the goals. It was a great little kick, but fortunately not enough to get the job done. Go Cats. We look ready, and I'm excited for next week, Joel. It's going to be very good. I'm going to be there. My family's going to be there. I've heard a little birdie that maybe you...
Yeah, I should be there.
Another host of the show may also be there.
Fuck.
So it's going to be exciting next week. Bring it on. But no, we looked really good, and I've seen in the wobblier patch there were some concerning things, but it feels like we've arrested them a bit. And if we can just carry that with us into the finals, we can probably go pretty deep. I think there is still a gap between us and probably the two premiership favourites, but there's no reason why we can't just fuck some shit up while we're there, Joel.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. All right. Speaking of fucking shit up, next game. West Coast took on Adelaide. And this went pretty much how you're expecting it to go, except in the first half. West Coast were very competitive.
I checked in at quarter time, and I was like, oh, geez, we're on here. And then...
So it was still okay for the first half of the second quarter. West Coast... Adelaide kicked the first goal. West Coast kicked the next. We're halfway through the second, and things are still pretty even. But then Adelaide do kick 5 goals in a row.
Yeah, this is the thing about Adelaide. They love... what'll happen is, if you don't kick any goals, they will kick a lot of goals to just end your life.
I will say, though, for West Coast, bright spot, Ella Roberts went bananas.
Yeah, she's been a bit of a bright spot for them across the whole season, I feel. You see her name sort of coming up when they do, like, the best for West Coast. It's Ella Roberts, Ella Roberts, Ella Roberts. Juicy.
Yeah,
it's impossible to tell on the official AFLW app who any of the players play for because they both feature blue. So,
yeah.
I will say this. Adelaide's shade of blue is a little bit darker, but holy shit, I cannot believe that's what it looks like. Why? Like, make your app better, guys. What are you doing?
So, Ella Roberts, yeah, she's averaging 21 disposals a game. 11 of those are contested. 11 of those are kicks. And averaging 3.5 score involvements, which is fucked. That's a big number.
Jesus Christ.
Especially when your team's scoring fucking six, like having six scoring shots a game.
That's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah. Like, West Coast have barely put up a big score. Like, even this game. So they scored 6-9. So what? 15 scoring shots. And if she's averaging... in being involved in 3.5 of them. Crazy.
Hey, do you want to feel old?
Yeah. She's 18.
Yep.
I know. I already knew that.
Jesus Christ. This is the thing that's so exciting about, I think, the women's comp is the next, like, we're seeing in the retirements of your Phillipses, Rocky Cranston, McWilliams, a lot of those sort of pioneers of those first couple of seasons. And this next wave, and even like, not future even the next, is- next wave, but that, like, from like your Nina Morrison, Chloe Malloy down, like in age-wise, yeah. It's just going to get better and better and better.
Yeah, it's the future isn't just bright, it's like red hot and burning.
It's the spicy future.
Yeah. Next game. Now, Brisbane Lions needed to beat Melbourne to make top 4. Everyone wrote them off, me included. I was worried if Essendon beat Gold Coast, they'd be like, top 4. Brisbane said, hey, Melbourne, get fucked. We are actually good. And just dominated them. Won by 25 points.
Melbourne didn't kick a goal after halftime. Just
fucked.
Got 4 goals kicked on them. Yeah, 4 goals won to 3 behinds after halftime. Just an absolute complete performance from Melbourne and from Brisbane. And really interesting to see their gears in the last quarter where Melbourne sort of shifted a few things around and Brisbane just adjusted the way they were playing. Really good coaching from Craig Starcevic just to just limit Melbourne's impact.
Yeah.
There was a stat they were talking where like Melbourne average triple figure handballs a game. That's their whole game. It's that run and gun handball out of trouble, get up the ground. And I think they were in double digits by the end of the game. I think they had like 75, like just
77,
just got absolutely
yeah.
Iced out of it. They got smashed. They smashed them in the contested ball. They outscored them. They out-tackled them. Like, that's always an indictment. I think at one point the inside 50 count was like 19-4 at like quarter time. Like, they just buried them with territory. And
it was 10-27. Oh, wait, no, sorry.
Yeah. That sounds about right.
No, that was tackles inside. I got tricked. Read the wrong stat. Inside 50 is 24-42.
Yeah, I think it was like the gap was even bigger earlier in the game. But I think the thing that people forget is, yes, Melbourne have been really good all year and Brisbane have been up and down. Brisbane are adjusting, and this is the thing, I watched this game with Sean and we were talking about it. I think one of the things that people, like Melbourne have been so good and Adelaide have been so good, they haven't, and North as well, they haven't really been rated that much. Like Melbourne have been able to keep their list together most years. Their grand final winning list from last year only lost Daisy Pierce. Brisbane, every season, every couple of seasons when expansion happens, get absolutely pillaged and they're still competing and they're still right up there. And this sends a bit of a message, I think, to the rest of the teams that Brisbane are not dead. They're not done. They brought all of the rage from last year's grand final into this game and they went, never fucking again, D's.
this is the game that's shaped up next week to be really juicy.
Well, yeah, it now means Adelaide play the only team they didn't beat this year, which was Brisbane.
Yes. And Melbourne and Kangaroos will be huge. It's all happening. Next game. Now, this isn't what we wanted because it meant that St. Kilda looked like they were going to make finals for a bit. St. Kilda took on Carlton, won by 20 points. Yeah. And then a bit flat after seeing this. But, Tom, justice was served later in the week. And
justice was done. Because as people were saying, we couldn't see a Nick Del Santo coach side in the finals.
No, because he's a cunt.
He's a bad bloke. He's a dog. He's not the worst coach at St. Kilda.
No, he's not. He's not. He's not the worst head coach at St. Kilda, but he's the second worst.
Look, there's some nice things. But I mean, the real worry was Wardlaw got absolutely blown into like next week and looked quite unsteady. So I hope she's okay. But
Nick Del Santo was saying about Jesse Wardlaw that if they made finals, they're like, yeah, if we're playing next week, she's not.
No, God, no.
St. Kilda got it done against Carlton. Carlton's season remained to be up and down. I think they started a little brighter and sold people a little bit more false hope than they were capable of delivering in the end.
Yeah, I think they're going through a big transition period. So about where they finished, which is in that sort of next five teams outside of the top eight, is about where they are. They are a team that is rebuilding after Harford and you know, they lost a few players to expansion through Essendon and through Sydney, and I think they're just sort of starting to gel a bit, and they'll be fine. They'll be fine in the long run, I think, but this is just a foundational transitional sort of period for them, and they probably got more wins than they were expecting, which is kind of nice.
And the curse continues because, Tom, I actually got an email on Friday night that said...
Oh, yes.
Welcome to 2024, Joel. Thank you for committing as a 2024 member. And you're probably like, oh, that's smart. Joel's ahead of his Essendon membership. No, this was from the Carlton Football Club. I do not know what the fuck is going on. Listener of the show, Jason, friend of the show, signed me up 5 years ago now. I'm a 5-year member of the Carlton Football Club.
That's so funny, man.
We've cancelled it. I spoke to him. I was like, no, I've cancelled it. I got emails this year, and I was like, finally, I've caught on being like, hey, your payment details are wrong. Like, we couldn't get a pay. Nothing got changed. I'm a member again.
What are they doing with that rabble of a club?
Someone in admin is in deep trouble. They're cursing the club, and they don't even know. Anyway, confusing. Very confusing. Mm. I haven't even looked into it, because, like... Is it a men's membership this time? I doubt it, but what's going on? What's going on? Now, next game. This also had me saying...
It'd be so funny if it was Tracy.
People think it's funny, but really what you're doing is any club I'm a member of doesn't win finals. Except for next week where that will change. The curse will be broken.
I hope not. I hope the curse remains for at least another 6 months.
Well, we hit 7,000 days since the AFLM Essendon team has won a final this week. My tattoo's changed now. That 6 has now become a 7.
Nice.
Whew. It's a lot of days, Tom. It's a lot of fucking days. Anyway, next game at Vic Park. This I did not see coming. Richmond blew Collingwood out. You thought that you weren't shocked by Richmond beating Collingwood by 50 fucking points when Collingwood were playing for finals.
I know. I was going to say, I was almost going to tip Richmond just because I didn't think Collingwood were good.
But you've been saying that all year because you've got anti-Collingwood bias, which I appreciate. But, like, Collingwood, like, beat a lot of good teams, including Geelong and Essendon and Brisbane.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I didn't expect... I guess I thought it would be closer and Richmond might be able to, like, pinch a win. I didn't expect for them to just run... This is their highest ever score in the AFLW.
Yeah, crazy.
Monconti absolutely just fucking ripped them apart. I think she had, like, 30-something touches and, like, 11 clearances. Just, like, was everywhere. And, like, not that Collingwood... In the end, it didn't matter because Collingwood would have needed to make percentage to catch St. Kilda and Sydney. But Richmond was like, you're not even going to be, you don't even have to worry about the ladder predictor, babes. Yeah. You don't even have to, you don't even close have to it. Fire it up. We're doing you a favor.
Taking it out of your hands. Don't worry.
But yeah, it was a lot closer. It seemed to be sort of this like ping-pongy sort of closer game. And then they just put the foot down and Collingwood had nowhere to go. But interestingly enough, I think Sabrina Frederick had the most hit-outs in the history of the league this season.
Oh, this season. I was going to say in this game she had 30. And I was going to be like, Tom, that is just not true. But
you know, this cumulative, season, her season, she's had the most hit-outs. So she might be in the frame for an all-Australian ruck slot.
Whew, that's big. Someone else did something massive this game. Who was it?
This is also
I got distracted. Maybe I was just distracted because Sarah Hosking kicked a goal.
This is also the first time I think that Richmond have won at Icon Park.
They didn't play at Icon Park,
didn't they?
No, this was at Victoria Park.
Well, they still haven't won at Icon Park.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
I'm not a clever man. This going to the island has not made me smarter. If anything,
your sun damaged.
I'm just too stupid. I've been playing too much Pokemon, reading too many scary books.
Yeah, watch that's
too
bad.
Many scary movies.
That's bad for your brain. Anyway, final game of the round, final game of the home and away season for AFLW 2023,
and there was so much riding on this game.
And it was so stressful for the first three quarters. And then Sydney said, nah, we want to win our first game and play our first time in finals in the same year. Let's fucking go.
It's so funny that going into this game, Max Lawton put a thing up being like, Sydney only need to win by, I think, 4 points. Right?
Yeah.
That's all.
Obviously, that would have changed if the scores got really high, but yes.
Yes. But generally, 4 points was about all that was required. And they were on like two and the scores were 2 and 3 points in front for so many times.
Yeah. A lot of massive individual games. Shout out to Kiara Turbo Bowers, who 22 touches. Oh, that's like not super high for her.
Yeah.
17 weird. Of those were kicks. That's all right. Oh, okay, she laid 18 fucking tackles.
She's a beast. She's just with her injuries throughout the season. You've just missed that like bit of murderous intent through the Freo midfield.
Yeah, fucked up.
Do you know who continues to be good at footy, Joel?
Laura Gardner.
But you know who else?
Who?
Chloe Malloy continues to be very good at football.
Yeah, I have heard that.
Big call. Heard it here on this podcast first, guys. Chloe Malloy, good footballer.
Yeah. Mim Strom, also great ruck person. 41 hitouts.
That's pretty massive. She's had a very, very good season as well. I think I saw a stat that Gemma put up, which was like either Gemma or Swamp Thing about like the ruck stats, and Sabrina was at the top, and then it was like someone from last year. And then I think Mim Strom is either like third or fourth all time most hit outs in a season, which is just
so
like she's also young, like a young ruck, which is just crazy as well.
Yeah, she's 21, I think, but her numbers, She's 21 and her number's 21. So you can see why I thought I got tricked there for a second. But Tom, the next closest person on hitouts in the game was Bella Smith with 14.
Well, to be fair to Sydney, their number one ruck in Ali Morfitt is out injured.
Yeah,
will
that
she
is
be
true.
Back for finals? I assume not.
I don't think so.
They said season. She fractured her wrist, so you're not gonna. When you've got a generational ruck talent who is very young, who you will build a side around, you don't rush them back in.
No, but that was it. Sydney just said, "Get fucked, Freo. Here we come, finals." And the ladder as it stands going into the 2023 AFLW Finals. Adelaide Crows 1, Melbourne 2, Kangaroos 3, Brisbane Lions 4, Gold Coast Suns 5th, Geelong 6th, Essendon 7th, and Sydney Swans 8th. Every other team, the book has been closed on them, and the top 8 have said, get fucked, see you next year.
We say good night to that bottom 8. Go quietly into that gentle night.
The bottom 10, Tom.
Oh, yeah, bottom 10, of course, because 18-team competition.
Yeah.
The finals are going to be interesting. I will say the AFL, this is How Good's Footy, and we are trying to be more How Good's Footy as opposed to how fucked footy can be.
Yep.
Just a quick shout-out after a successful women's home and away season. Very quick shout-out to the AFL. Congratulations. You get nothing.
Yeah.
You lose. Yeah. You fucked the game. You continue to be the terrible, worst organization. Ah, we can't give you an extra game next year because you didn't hit the target because crowds were down because we put every game in a small fucking venue, often at dog shit fucking times, like 11 o'clock on a Saturday morning.
Awesome.
They've also absolutely gone psycho with the fixture for the finals by scheduling both Victorian finals, like the second one. They're both on the same day. One's in Geelong, one's at Icon Park. Mm-hmm. You cannot attend both finals because for TV reasons, they just roll straight into one another. No Friday night game.
Yeah. Genius.
Andrew, I hope you're better than Gil because if you're not, I will turbo Bowers you.
So, Tom, the end of the AFLW home and away season also means the end of the AFLW fantasy leagues and AFLW tipping competition.
Well, I assume the leader for the last few weeks has been Analysis Paralysis, who...
sent us an email last week.
Sent us an email last week goading you and
because,
so confident. They were too clear. They were too clear.
They were too clear of me. I was second. Now, Tom...
would have had to drop 3 tips to other people to fall out of top spot.
Yeah. So, Tom, sadly, I finished 3rd.
Oh, that's a shame, mate. Couldn't catch Paralysis. That's all
no, right. No, I couldn't catch Analysis Paralysis. But I did get more tips than this week because they tipped like dog shit.
And Joel, I've just opened the app. And,
yeah, they're second, Tom.
They're second.
They're second, and their arrogant fucking email last week has aged like milk.
Oh, get fucked.
What did you think was going to happen when you send an email like that? Karma would come back and bite you on the fucking ass. You finished second, and second gets fuck all. History never remembers second place. Irrelevant. You're irrelevant.
In the words of the great philosopher Ricky Bobby, if you're not first, you're last.
Oh, analysis paralysis.
In the words of another great philosopher, DJ Khaled, congratulations, you played yourself.
Yeah, that fucked up. But enough about an irrelevant person. Let's talk about first place.
Annie,
who has come from the heavens in a pretty tough to tip week, got 8 out of a possible 9.
Is there a way to see where they were, like, last round?
Not as far as I'm aware. Oh, wait, maybe? No,
I can't get it up.
But yeah.
That's enormous.
Fucking huge. Shout out to Annie. Got 8. Just powered into top spot. Made some very sensible and clever tipping decisions, and they've all paid off.
Terrence Reed also got 8 this week. Second highest tipper for the week.
That's massive. The only game that Annie dropped was Collingwood, so tipped Brisbane to beat Melbourne.
Which I did as well.
So I finished 3rd. Quick shout out to Coach Carno, who finished top 10 as well, coming in at 10th spot.
So I finished top 20 as well after being like 50th at one point. I had two weeks in a row where I failed to tip.
You finished 15th. The top 10 was pretty tight, but then it kind of falls off a little bit. Because, yeah, you finished You were 5 tips behind me.
Yeah, jeez.
Yeah, just a lot going on there. But Tom, there was also a lot. So again, congratulations to Annie. You have won the Haggard's Footy AFLW tipping competition of 2023, and you have defeated an arrogant rival of the show. Analysis so paralysis.
You've won the greatest prize of all, revenge and respect.
Oh, Annie, we cannot thank you enough.
We don't have an actual prize for you.
No, but the praise is all, it's worth it, Tom. Now, the season's finished in AFLW Fantasy. There was 4 comps. Do you want to start from the fun section and work our way up, or start from the weapons and work our way down?
Let's go fun section and work our way up, baby.
Okay. So this is a painful grand final to talk about. So in the How Good's Footy fun section, Fantasy competition, the grand final was between Close the Derek, who is Justin's team, versus the Almost Too Goods, my team. And now, Tom.
Yes, John.
I was worried about this name. I feel like my team name has come back to haunt me.
Because you were almost too good.
But I was not good enough. Because Justin, 1,503 defeated Joel, 1,474. Close game. Good game.
Congratulations, Justin. Get fucked, Joel.
Get absolutely fucked, me. It feels bad to only drop one game in the season and that game being the grand final.
You did what Bonnie Toogood did. You went 9-10.
Yeah, I went 9 out of 10.
Mm.
Now, Tom, we're going to go into the third tier league. The
Gemma Bastiani.
The Gemma Bastiani Cup. The Haggard's Footy Gemma Bastiani Cup, named after our celebrity entrant this year, Gemma Bastiani.
Gemma Bastiani.
Who sadly finished 3rd in her own league.
Just missed it.
Just missed out. Tom?
Yes, John.
I was in this grand final too.
Man, so that score of what was it, 1474?
Yeah. Was it good enough? Was it good enough? Was it good?
That's a shame.
Was it good enough against Egg FC, the team that finished top of the ladder? It's Jack's team. Tom?
Yes, Joel.
It was enough. I won by 3. Whoa!
Oh, Jesus Christ.
1474 to 1471.
That is a kick. That is one effective kick.
One kick. One kick is all I needed. And there were some big moves happening in every grand final that I was keeping my eye on. Lots of loopholing, which was rare in AFLW season because it's harder to do.
Yep.
But
the fact that North played really early on Saturday meant a lot of people could loophole Jazzy Garner.
Yeah, there was a lot going on. And a lot of masterful moves. And like the type of moves you'd expect to see when a team's in the grand final.
Yep.
Now we'll move on to the other two cups that I came close but didn't quite make grand finals, which is fair. Can't make them all. So in the Haggard's Footy Reserves League, it was Ward Law and Order versus St. Kilda Job Thief Car something. Chaotic name. Wish I could read it all. The app has gotten better for some reason. I can see more of the names now.
Oh, that's good.
So it was Nick's team versus Moritz's team. And Tom.
Yes.
My score would have won this as well.
Oh, Jesus. That hurts.
So I missed I missed this grand final on percentage.
Oh, Joel.
And it was 0.5%.
Oh, Joel.
So Moritz scored 1,471, which was enough to get it done against Ward Law and Order, Nick's team, who scored 1,412. Now, Tom, it's time for the big league, the biggest league of all. And you're going to see...
The weapons. Who's the biggest weapon league of all? That's what the W in AFLW stands for. It's not women. It's weapons.
Tom, these are going to be names you've heard all year. WA Salvage, Ivan's team, took on the Carton Blues.
The Carton Blues. The Tim's fucking team, Carton Blues.
The Carton Blues, who they're fucking up and about in the AFLM fantasy. The women's, I thought they were going to take their time to wrap their head around. I was fucking wrong. Tim, he's just like fucking plugged in. But how did he go in the grand final? Well, Tom, let me tell you, the losing score of this game was 1,573.
Oh my God. That's the losing score.
Yeah. And it wasn't even really that close, Tom, because the Carton Blues, Tim, won with a score of 1,625. What Holy the shit. Fuck, Tim? Jesus Tim. Christ! That is
Tim. That is absolutely like.
Imagine doing that in a fucked. Fucking grand final.
That's absurd. Who did Tim have in their team? I assume Garner is the captain.
Tom, they fucked up.
What do you mean?
Marinov was the captain.
I mean, Marinov still went pretty fucking big.
Marinov scored 103.
Yeah, but playing West Coast, Marinov, I understand the logic there. You're like, playing West Coast, I'm going to lock Marinov in early.
Tom.
So
they scored 1,625 without the Jazzy Gardner 300.
That is actually fucked up. Oh, footy's so good.
Ebony Marinov was their lowest scoring midfielder by 20 points and their captain.
I'm assuming they had Mon Conti because she went off chops.
So the Carlton Blues' midfield was Kiara Bowers with 142, Ebony Marinov as captain, so 206, Jazzy Gardner, 150, Riddell, 130, and Mon Conti, 124.
Yeah, that's a lineup that you cannot get past.
Fucked up. Just exceptional fantasy there, Tim.
So imagine if Marinov had have gone off, or like they'd captained Jazz Garner instead.
Well, if they captained Jazz Garner, just that one move,
they win by 150 points.
They score 1,700.
Man,
Ivan, you can't even be mad about losing this grand final. You just got to look at this and be like, what could I have done? Nothing.
Inevitable. Inevitability.
The Carlton Blues, untouchable. An untouchable team. Congratulations, Tim. I can't even wrap my head around how you've done this. That's just like a powerhouse performance.
By powerhouse man.
That's just like, this is like in 50 years, people will be flipping through handbooks of, you know, just like great footy achievements, and that score will be in there.
From this season, the five big achievements from this season will be Sydney's first win and then making finals. There'll be Courtney Hodder's mark. There'll be this score from Tim.
Yep.
There will be Michael Pryor getting fired.
Yep.
Michael Pryor? Matthew Pryor. I don't even, you know what? Don't
Fuck
care.
Him.
That guy getting fired. And then the other great achievement, Annie beating analysis paralysis.
Oh, big time. I'm just having a quick look at the worldwide scores. But yeah, I think the Carlton Blues may have finished top 100 in the world, which is fucking enormous.
That is honestly wild.
Just really good stuff. And Tom, I'm very excited for finals footy.
So am I, mate. It's going to be beautiful. If you're going to be there, maybe we're getting a bit of a hot dog. Who can say?
Yeah, that'd be pretty big.
The weather forecast looks like it'll be a beautiful 23 and sunny.
Woo!
Maybe a Milo ice cream or two in our future.
Sounds
like it's happening.
That sounds really good. I just can't believe finals is happening and I'm in them. I'm scared. I'm excited. I might die.
Hey, we all might die, but that's footy.
And I think that's also this podcast, Tom. I think there's nothing else to say.
I think there is. Let us know what you're doing for the finals. Send us an email at HowGoodsFooty. Find us on Instagram at HowGoodsFootyPod. We're on Twitter, but don't worry about that. Or you can look us up on individually. I'm OrcaTreed on most, if not all, social medias.
And I'm Deuce13 on all social medias. I've just found one email, Tom. They just keep it nice and brief, and it's nice. It's just a nice way to bring the episode home. This is from James. Dear HowGoodsFooty, congratulations to all of the hosts on your teams making the finals. As a Swans fan,
stuff.
It also makes me very happy to see them make finals, James. Short, sweet, simple, beautiful.
James, we're happy for you too. Bring on the finals. Go footy. Go Geelong.
Go Bombers.
The biggest names in tennis are coming to Paris for the most anticipated Roland Garros in years. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. Experience 3 weeks of unparalleled tournament access as the world's top players in tennis face off against each other. Will the veteran champions continue their dominance, or will a fresh face emerge to challenge their legacy on the clay courts? Daily live coverage of this epic showdown begins Monday, May 20th. Don't miss a matchup. Stream it now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.